Hello, and welcome back to episode 19 of Heroic Stats and Any Heroics podcast. My name is, of course, as you're all very aware, Stephen, and I am the captain of Any Heroics, the only GBHL team where we decide our captaincy based on whose name is closest to the seventh place Grand National from the year before. I'm joined once again by John, the intern Partridge, and Dave, Spider Queen fetishist Farmer. Say hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Lovely, lovely. If you're new here, which you could be, we are here, of course, to talk about the events from the past weekend, all sorts of hobby goodness, with a focus on the more competitive meta. So if that sounds like your jam, hit your subscribe buttons and whatnot. But before we go any further, we do, of course, have to talk about our lovely affiliates.
What?
Seventh City Collectibles.
Oh my! It's the same one last time.
It's the same one as last time.
We're on a streak.
We're on a streak. We are, of course, proudly affiliated with Seventh City Collectibles. Got a really nice relationship with the manager up there. Will, lovely guy. He's been on the channel before and also the podcast. So. They are, of course, stockists of all your favorite systems. They do cards, they do models, they do paints, they do great food, they do a good place to hang out if you're in the area. They also do secondhand stuff and events, which is really their USP. They're one of the best secondhand stockists in the UK. So check out their website. You'll see some of John's stuff on there. And in about 6 months' time, you'll see some of my stuff on there. So yeah, thank you very much to Seven City for being affiliated with us. If you want to check them out, there is a QR code. No, there isn't. There's a link in the description down below. But before we get on to the events of the previous weekend, it is of course time to talk about everyone's favorite bit, the hobby, where I come up with another inventive excuse for why I haven't done anything.
Is it moving house, Stephen?
It is literally, I showed Dave and John, I've literally got all of my hobby stuff that isn't Smaug and my trophies, bragging, behind me in boxes. So I spent about 6 hours organising that yesterday, which was, it was quite nice, actually.
It surprisingly takes a long time to organise hobby stuff, doesn't it? Way longer than it sort of feels like it's going to before you start.
I think I worked out I've got 32 or 33 out of the 46 available factions in some capacity, like able to field a 450-point army.
Okay.
And I also found out that I've got like a bunch of duplicates of Gurrits and things like that, which is quite nice. And a bunch of Isengard models, which I've had for like, I don't know, 10 years or something.
Since we were in primary school.
Since we were in primary school. Yeah. John, what have you been up to?
I've been painting your Easterlings and also some dwarfs.
Excellent. Dwarfs?
Yeah. Adam needs to borrow dwarfs for Gates of Gondolin, the Seven City tournament that tickets are still available for that we're going to next
Just
weekend.
Gates of Gondolin.
And for the Nations Cup in Belgium in a few weeks.
Oh, time. Really? I didn't realise. Yeah.
Well, that's a spoiler for one of the lists we might be taking.
I actually have done painting this week for the first time in bloody ages. I painted one Galathrum Court Guard to the very basic standard that all my Galathrum Court Guards are painted at, because about, I want to say it was about 7 years ago, I thought, no, we're kind of in the hole. No, it wasn't that long ago. Maybe it was. I don't remember when exactly it was, but I rush painted two Galathrum Court Guard because I was like, I'll finish these in my nice paint scheme soon. And then soon has never come, because technically they're painted enough to play with, and because my Galathrum army has never been finished, despite starting it was in 2017. It's still, yeah. So I added a third one 3 or 4 years ago, and I just added a fourth one to painted standard. So that's one less model I have to borrow when I want to use Galathrum Court Guard. And I also painted some axes, which is a mysterious and oblique spoiler for something that I'm working on.
Very exciting. So moving on from that,
yeah,
the events of the past weekend.
first tournament we're covering. I was at this one. It was the Dark Lord Rises, a GBHL 90, held at Darkfire Cafe in St. Albans. Myself and 22 other players battled it out at 600 points across 4 games. We did veto format. Most sporting was won by the very affable Luke Hilder, friend of the pod.
Big fan of him. He's on
And
my team for the GBHL. Big up Luke Hilder.
lovely
I hope he
guy.
listens, although I suspect he doesn't
He
still.
is allegedly the best Gilglad player in the league.
Well, he's the most international Gilglad player in the league. I'll give him that. Came second at the Polish Team Championships with myself, Ali King, and Jakub Krogmal, and did an excellent job piloting what many consider to be a garbage list, one of the most competitive events in the world. So, you know. Good job, Luke.
Well, luckily, Stephen, you can go international with Gilglad at the upcoming Nations Cup.
We haven't put them in any of our lists, unfortunately, so I can't.
Spoilers.
On a very slight tangent, if you are at the Nations Cup, come say hi. I'll probably look roughly the same.
That is
In came
an
getting a
order, by the
haircut
way.
or a shave.
If you do are at the Nations Cup and you'll hear this, you must come and say hi.
Yes.
It's that's a
Must.
command.
I am commanding you on a six.
Yeah, on off. Yeah, I was gonna say a roll of six, and you can't resist because you're out of will. So
I'm not
chop
sure
chop.
we really need to chat too much about the best painted for this one. Although
Oh
I
yeah,
would say
no.
shout
It was
out.
some converted Arnor. It looks nice.
Yeah,
Let's
some
move on
really
to
nice.
third
Oh,
place.
Mr. John Partridge. A
Who's
lovely one.
that? I
That
reckon
is
that might be the
some.
secret identity of one of our commenters, potentially.
Or
My
Pete.
favorite thing about this army is the fact that the stripes on one guy's shield goes the wrong way and all
Yeah.
the others go the other
Well, I
way.
bet that's really annoying for people who spot that.
Did you do that on purpose?
We'll say yes.
Okay. Also, shout out Oliver Adkins, the one who did the results, because he's just sent those results over to me about half an hour ago. So thanks, Oliver.
Lovely. So they'll be online and on the GBHL by the time you listen to
Sure.
this. Well, let's look at the people who are going to be getting good points from that event. Better than myself. I did go undefeated with my Arnor, but I went 2 wins and 2 draws.
More like our draw. Oh, yeah.
That's kind of the problem with Arnor, especially in veto, because you end up in the milquetoast middle of the road scenarios that Arnor just
Yeah. I'm
sit
sure
down and.
we won't see any Arnor in the podium because John was the best Arnor player at the event. So moving to third place.
Mr. Dan Garside taking
Hey.
Dave's favourite Barn Door. He's got Mordor Serpent Horde, 600 points, Witch King, 3 Might, 15 Will, 3 Fate, Crown of Morgul and a Horse, 7 Numbs, 7 Morannon with Shield and Spear, 1 Tracker, 1 Tracker on a Warg. He's got Kardush with 5 Numbs, 4 Morannons with Shield Spear, 3 more Trackers, and then Slowdan and 2 Serpent Riders.
Firstly, shout out Dan Garside. Lovely guy. Got a lot of time for him. Also,
Dan was one of my draws.
yeah, lovely guy.
My opinion is that Kardish doesn't really add very much to this list.
Also, the Witch King's slightly too expensive.
He's
If you
he's
trim
put a
him
lot
back.
of he's put a lot of beans into the Witch King's pudding. I
Yeah.
think I would drop a will point and a fate point at least. Or possibly 2 will points, depending on your personal flavor. You do that and you turn Kardish into like Gorbag. I think
Yeah.
Gorbag is probably the most points efficient of the 60-point lads. You've got March already from Slowdan. You get 2 extra might points. You get another 5/5/3 attack potentially some of the time. Fighter who can work as a great might caddy, and all you're really losing is fury for half your army that doesn't need it because it's the front, it's the back line. And yeah, I mean that gets you an extra 10 points you can spend on lads as well. So if you want to just throw down 2 additional trackers, you totally can. Yeah, I mean that's how I would do it. I like trackers, and six of them is better than four. Well, five, but the one work. That's how I would do it. Obviously, this isn't bad. Like it does the work, and Kardish does have a little source, like lots of extra additional access to will, and it allows the Witch King to be quite free with his will. Because if you really need to use him as a shadow pawn, you can. But for me, I think getting up to 35 models at 600—that's pretty nasty. Like it won't like heavy shooting, like crossbows or what have you, but it does have, the D6. So if you're against anything else, In fact, actually, I think what I would do is swap Cardish for Gorbag, drop two stats off the Witch King, and then get another Morannon in. Maybe, yeah, I think that would be how I'd do it. Put it up
Yeah, a
to 34
Morannon in
models.
to sit behind Gorbag.
Or just, I mean, there's one more Black Gnome than there is Morannon already, so that works for me. But yeah, I mean, like, this is fine. I just, I don't see the, I don't see that Cardish adds loads and loads. Having said that, I mean, Flame Burst on 3+, very, very one diceable. It's good for, I guess at 600, maybe there's just not enough stuff to protect your little backside things that you can target them with your Flame Burst. You can pop it on mounted heroes who then have to resist because otherwise their horse is getting toasted, and the Witch King then gets more ability to mess with them with his extra will points. I think it's a fine list. I think I'd quite like that. At the very least, I drop a will point and throw another tracker in there for an additional break point. But it's, I think it's
Yeah. Solid
nice.
list, 8.5 out of 10.
Our second place list was, oh,
Oh, you've
cheeky.
done it again.
Oh no, even I forgot about it that time. Second place was Henry Britton.
Henry, the
Lovely
man
chap.
who has attended the most GBHL events in the year so far, by like a really strong margin. Lovely gentleman. He did a charity live stream last year as well. A lot of time for this man. Nice to see him doing well.
Henry
Well,
has
this is
bought. Oh, go ahead, Dave.
now. I was going to say this is more along the lines of the 600-point meta we found ourselves talking about back in February. But we've got the Master of Lake Town leading 15 Lake Towners with a third split guard with no upgrades, guard with spear and bow. Then he's got Bard with armor and horse, Sigurd and Tilda, four Lake Town with bow, seven with spear, and then Alfred leading six with spear, six with bow. And then Braga leading five with nothing, five with spear, and two with bow. That is, I assume those are maxed out bows.
Yeah, 18 bows out of
18 bows plus bar,
50.
no,
Yeah.
17 guys with bow plus bard. I mean, that's going to outshoot most things. 56 models. He's not gone for any allies, but in veto, you're not going to run into contest.
Think
I mean,
one of the
that's
things that has
nasty.
to be said about the shooting potential of a list like this is if you've got 17 of these bows, obviously plus Bard, against something like, let's say you've got Hunter Orcs or Serpent Horde. Is because you can just stick models in front of your bows, and they'll still be combat effective if they've got spears. You lose such a smaller percentage of your bows when you lose bows if you're against anything, let's say D4. Yeah, it's a really consistent list at 600. Obviously, veto makes it really good because you suddenly go, oh, no contest, cool. You might then be forced to play to the death.
How do you guys feel about the kind of the pure Army of Lake Town version versus allying in Thorin's company?
Having run both, I would say pure might actually be better, unless you have specific scenarios in mind.
I think at 600, this with pure, I mean, look, these are not quite full warbands, but they're not far off. In fact, that's pretty close to full. I think he's only got like three odd warband space. So in order to get another hero in like a Bilbo or something, you'd have to drop quite a lot. I think
Yeah.
at 600 pure hits a pretty nice effective level. And if you're not having to worry about contest, you don't really feel the desperate need to throw in like Bilbo and Nori or something. So, yeah, I think this is good the way it is
I
at
think
600.
this might be almost exactly what I took at the GP this year, actually. I think I had 56
Well,
models.
do you
No,
have Bard? Clearly, he didn't run into range of Ithilien. I feel like you wouldn't get any
I
friends
did
taking
have
that to
Bard, yes,
600
because I
point
was long
90s.
debating whether to take Gandalf the Grey, who in the long run, actually, I probably should have done, would have won me game four, maybe. or health at least. Or Bard plus the girls, which is a roughly equivalent point exchange, 185 versus 180.
The difference there is Bard can't, sorry, Gandalf can't lead Lake Towners. So
Oh yeah,
you'd
that was
have
the
to
other issue.
take
If
another.
it would be a captain as well. So I
Like,
think I
but
lost.
Gandalf is green with them because he's in.
Yeah. Thorin.
He's also has to, he would then become, oh no, he wouldn't become the leader, sorry, because they gave the FAQs to the master.
Yeah. Which, you know, I was fine with knowing that contest wasn't coming up on day one. And then day two was going to be veto. So there was no way I was playing contest anyway. But yeah, I deliberated over it a lot. And I think either way around, this list is really good. It absolutely shags things like Hunter Orcs because you pew them on the way in and then you're winning the fights because you've got a 12-inch banner and spears and more numbers. And yeah, I think I played Hunter Orcs twice with this list and it was fine. Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of equal bow numbers, but having guys that you can put out up front that are
Yeah.
more expendable and overall higher numbers is helpful.
And Braga will just walk into two Hunter Orcs and free heroic combat 4.5 times, or 3 times if you want to save some stuff for moves. Bard, again, there's nothing that can kill him in the Hunter Orc list, really. Moving on to first place, though.
Our very exciting first place winner. An almost
Hey.
identical list to the list I took, showing that list is irrelevant and play skills all that matters, was Tom Patterson with Arnor. He had 42 lads, Arvor Dewey with a Hobbit Archer, three Rangers with Spear, six Warriors of Arnor, and a Warrior with Banner. Malbeth with three more Rangers of Spear, six Warriors. Captain with three Rangers with Spear, six Warriors, and Captain with three Rangers with Spear and six Warriors.
I
Most
don't like
certainly
Arnor at
effective.
600. It's
Arnor is.
fine. I don't like it at 600.
It's consistent, but it does feel a bit boring, I think.
I
I
think
would
with
be.
Vito, it helps it out a lot, but I think this is probably feasting on the fact that maybe people weren't taking quite a strong list because it was a 90.
Yeah.
Because 600, I mean, he's got 2 points in his pocket as well, which is criminal. For my money, you drop a ranger, drop a spear off a ranger and turn that Hobbit Archer into another ranger because you've not taken a
Yeah, so that
Warhorn, but
was the
still.
difference with my list. I had one more
For
ranger,
me,
but a few
that's the
less
correct
spears.
choice. Yeah. You lose. I mean, there's enough spears in the list. You don't need all the rangers to have spears.
Yeah, you definitely miss out on the sweet spots. Kind of 550, you get the three heroes and max warband.
Yeah,
650, you
exactly.
get kind of closer to
650, you
max
can throw
warbands.
in more guys. Like 650 is so much nicer because it's just you just add guys, and then 700 you can have the Warhorn and stuff, or you can really confusingly max out boys if you want. If you want 54 guys, you can do that. Yeah, like this is fine, but it's not like this is kind of relying on rolling good on your fights and your or like to wound and your Malbeth saves, like which is again that's Arnor in a nutshell, but.
Yeah,
I'll
because
actually be really interested to see how the new have changes its sweet spots because it's probably going to make 600 nicer because you can not have the second captain and you can just go kind of cav heavy potentially. And that might actually end up being quite nice. I'm not sure yet though. It would depend. But
I
you wouldn't lose that
found
many boys and you could get some more exciting troops.
in the two games I drew, it was against one was against Dan Garside, whose list we looked at, and another was Richard Spencer, who took pure Mordor. I think he had 17 Morannans, 17 Black Gnomes, and we just the lines just met and grinded. They were winning more fights, and that, but yeah, the game just never went anywhere. I didn't have any sort of kind of penetration with the
Yeah.
Arnor, and I didn't quite have enough numbers to overwhelm.
That's the problem at 600.
Yeah, whereas at
You need the
those
overwhelming
550
numbers.
or the 650 breakpoints, you have those extra numbers, and you
So,
can overwhelm.
you like relative to what your competition will have. Yeah, that was it for me really. Because two captains plus Arvor Dewey can do work, but they'll also have the Witch King and Gorbag or whatever, or maybe Suladam or stuff like that. Five strength four. Three attack guys are fairly plentiful, and that's exactly the combo that hurts Arnor a lot. Like the Mouth of Sauron does a lot of work in Arnor. Lots of commonly used sort of medium-sized heroes go really well into Arnor, which means that they can usually equalize the killing power from your captains. And if they happen to have transfixes, they can turn off Malbeth and all that stuff.
I think the best
And
value I got
clearly
out of the
he's won it,
captains
so.
was just roadblocks. Like the D7, even though strength four, fight five heroes,
Yeah.
a lot of the time they're tying on fight, they need sixes to put wounds on them. Like if you can avoid them getting trapped, then they're pretty Gucci.
Yeah, hope for a fun one of those fun fights where you manage to trap a Witch King with one, because that's a very nice little setup. Because Witch Kings can die very easily to Captain T'Vana or Ava Dui potentially. Actually, I don't know. Does Ava Dui have the Hatred Angmar thing, or is it only the captains?
I'd have to consult with
I'm not
our
actually sure
competitor with
about that, but yeah,
legitimacy.
he does have it. I remember reading
Oh,
that
there you go.
somewhere.
Cool. All
Lovely.
right, let's move on. Well done to Tom Patterson.
Let's look at our second tournament of the weekend. It was the Battle of Bywater, another 90 held at Acme Games in Llandudno, famous for hosting
Ah,
last year's One
yes.
Day 100 that lots of the tryhards, myself and Dave included, trekked up to.
I
The
can't believe
TO
I'm going
was
to all the other
Matthew
100s.
Hill.
Can't miss it.
They had 26 players playing three games at 900 points. Ignore that. I haven't clicked. I clicked the wrong slide. There we go. Maybe we'll change that in editing, but we'll probably just leave it in. Most sporting was Kalman. Is it Kalman Ericsson? Is that his surname?
Kalman Steels Wright is his name.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Lovely
Kalman
guy.
Steels
He
Wright.
also almost definitely took his last alliance, which is gloriously painted. So, yeah, shout out Kalman. Big fan.
Yeah, but so I saw some pictures of Kalman's army. You're right. It was his traditional last alliance that we always know looks stunning. But he was just pipped to the best painted post by Andre Platt, who took this very cool Thorin's Company on Pony's army. So you can see a few more pictures there. He's got all the company. I think these look like conversions rather than, I know there are some 3D prints flowing about, but these look, I think these are
Yeah, they
conversions.
are. Yeah, that's definitely the groin, one of the foot groin poses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
He
always 3D
started
prints are
from
nice, but
no.
it's always nice when you see the conversions rather than just straight prints.
Yeah. Do you have any more photos?
We've got that photo. This was all I got. Andre, if you're an avid listener, whack a link to where we can see some more photos in the comments because they're very cool and I want to see how you've done your conversions.
Did he have all of the dwarves? Did he have the whole company minus Gandalf? So I'm not quite
If
sure. I
we
think all the
clip
company.
back, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
So he did. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the 13 dwarves plus
Right.
Bilbo. That's cool. Because I thought, I'm pretty sure all the dwarves plus Bilbo plus Gandalf on foot is 1,000 points or thereabouts.
I believe
I
so,
could be wrong
yes.
about that though. So dropping Gandalf and whacking them all on ponies seems like a fun little setup. I mean, that's probably super fun to play with, I would have thought.
Yeah,
Not as good as
and
the Champions of Erebor, definitely not as good as the champions, but that is
unfortunately,
probably cuter. Also,
Andre
hey, I
didn't
see there's.
podium.
Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, but
There's Rohan horses he's used.
I don't know. I guess
Some of
some of
them
the
definitely
scale of the
are.
Hobbit models are a bit bigger, so I guess it kind of
Yeah,
works.
well, I mean, like, fair
They're just
enough. Like,
big
I'm not, I'm
ponies.
no shade or anything. Like, I'm pretty sure quite a few of those are horses, though. Yeah, they are. Although he
They look
has
cool.
filed away the head thing, so he's put the work in. Looking at that, assuming unless I'm seeing that completely wrong, but I'm pretty sure those are Rohan horses with the like. Where he's like got rid of the nose armor and he's turned him into a little pony, which is a excellent work if that's the case. If it's not, then I'll shut my mouth. But it looks
We
really
are
good.
secretly a hobby channel.
Well, no, I appreciate nice conversions. Conversions are one of my favorite bits of the hobby.
So, as alluded to, third place was Kalman Steels Wright
Oh, I've got
running
to run this
Last
one through.
Alliance.
Firstly, shout out Calman, big fan. He takes Gil-Glad. Chad. I didn't actually know Cal coming to podium, so he has, of course, Rivendell Numenor, 32 models, 900 points, only 8 bows. Gil-glad, Pike Angry
Embarrassing.
Elves, Horse and Shield, 3 High Elf Warriors with Spear and Shield, 4 High Elf Warriors with Shield, Spear, Kingsguard, 1 with Shield, Spear, Kingsguard, and Banner, and 8 High Elf Warriors with Shield, 2 Rivendell Knights, Hidden with 6 High Elf Warriors with Bow, Aristotle with 2 High Elf Warriors with Spear and Shield. And 2 High Elf Warriors with Shield. And then last of all, the absolute monster that is Elendil, High King of Gondor and Arnor, with Horse and Shield. Absolutely giga Chad, this list.
Very much
30
more themed
models,
than
32 models, 900
32.
points.
You can have more, you can have another bow by my point, but yeah. Well, I mean, so for me, this isn't like a min-max list. He's just gone with the Gilgalad or Elendil starting point, and then he just filled it up. I prefer a captain over Aristor here because I think marching is nice, but it largely isn't super important for a list like this. Also, I think it's, by the way, I think it's funny that you mentioned that it's his classic last lines, because I'm pretty sure he only finished it like in the last few months, so it's not exactly something he's had for
No, he was
ages.
taking it last year.
Yeah, but to Throne of, he finished it for Throne of Skulls, which is in like November, which is only what, 6 months ago.
Yeah, true.
But I mean, fair enough. Maybe that
It's
counts.
classic because we've
Like,
seen it a few times on the channel.
I suppose so. For my money, Classic Kalman would be running all the champions because that's his. That's one of his go-to lists. Especially at 900 points, it must have been hard to resist busting out the champions of Erebor and just going brrr, and doing a eight heroic combat song for turn one,
Just
which is a
Dubakaring all over everyone.
exactly.
If technology has done us right, I found some added some
There
photos.
we go. That's my boy. Big shout out. He's also got five metal Rivendell captains for some of his shield elves, which is just
It's a bit of a
what a
flex,
what a
isn't
shout. Yeah,
it?
Jakob does that as well for his.
I my main thing about this is probably could afford to have some Numenorean boys in there. The strength four actually helps the line quite a lot. Like last line, like those spear and shield elves, you can make some of them into Numenoreans just to get a bit of strength four into your line, and then that would give you the points you need to make that into a captain on horse with a lance, which would also be a killier than Aristor, is my personal feeling.
I'd drop Aristor, a controversial decision, and just fill out with Numenorean warriors personally.
You could do that, yeah. I think this is more like this is what he has and how he likes to build it rather than
Oh yeah.
a competitive list, though.
And that's the best thing about Kamen, is he takes lists like this and he does well with it. Because it's
Yeah.
not a good list. He also his Gil-galad conversion, you can just see on the left of your screen. It's the new Rivendell, the new Elrond model, there we go. Converted up, which is
Give
just
him a little wreath
glorious.
crown. It's very nice looking. Right. We slowly are becoming more and more of a hobby podcast, which definitely
You said
suits
that on the
my
last one.
talents more than gaming. Let's have a look at second place. It was David Bumble Gooseberry bringing Corsairs of Umbar and the Serpent Horde.
What a phenomenal
900
name.
points, of course, 60 models, 13 bow. He's got Dalamir, 8 Reavers with axes, 1 Reaver, and 9 Corsairs with spear and shield. Delgamar with 13 arbalesters,
Oh.
a bowsun, so two identical bowsun warbands, both with 6 reavers with axes and 6 reavers with shield and spear. And finally, he's got Suladan the Serpent Lord as a green ally, one dropped in. I'm sure for fluff and
Finally,
theme
a
reason.
good list. After all this garbage, we finally got an actually good list to look at.
This is hot shit.
Excellent.
I love Reavers.
Yeah, I mean, this is great. He hasn't even maxed out his crossbows, which is really funny. I feel like he should, but also I love that he didn't as well. This is fantastic. It will hilariously just get shot off the board by anything with hot decent shooting because most of that is D3.
Details, Dave,
But
details.
still, it's a lot of fun. Like you're like, I mean, he came second, so he's clearly done well with it. But Reavers are hilarious. Like, you can just go absolutely bananas with them. And it's got a deceptively large amount of throwing weapons. I think that's got what's 21 throwing daggers? No, sorry, 23 throwing daggers. Oh, plus Dalamir, so 24. I'm not sure if Dolgamar has them, but either way, that's a crap ton of throwing daggers on top of the 13 crossbows. I guess if you're against something big shooting, you just hide behind your crossbow D6 lads and just hope that they shoot some stuff. They come in and then you just go wah 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 wah, throw in there. This is actually
Wow.
reminding me of a wacky 1,000 point list I tested that my good friend Jakob came up with, which was Dragon Emperor behind Corsair Reavers,
Yeah.
which is great fun. And I think at 1,000 points it got up to 50 models. I played against Jordan with it once. It was just excellent fun. But I think Reavers are never going to be top tier competitive, but they are great fun because they are, if you let them go crazy, which you can do at any time, they charge the nearest model and then they're two attacks, fight four models with I mean, you shrink four with the axes. You might as well pierce because they're only D3, and then suddenly you can, if you trap the enemy, you get +2 to wound, which is very fun if you have to kill something like a Ringwraith on a fell beast and they don't roll a six. You're like, ooh, I get double strikes. I now every one of these Reavers now has four attacks, wounding on fours against a D8 model. It's like whoop, 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 and then they die really quick. But I mean, another underrated fact about this list is it has 60 models. Like,
Which
that's
is
a
a
lot.
lot, yeah.
Yeah, even at 900 points, 60 models is a lot. I mean, if this was playing against Kalman, I mean, Kalman's list is, he's got a couple of big lads, but it's like you're literally doubling him in numbers. You
As
just don't
soon as
bother shooting him.
one throwing dagger takes out each of the hero's horses, you're having a
Yeah, exactly.
sad time.
Well, exactly. But I mean, like, it's, you know, even if the heroes perform perfectly and do everything they need to do, you still just kill his whole army, probably.
Are Reavers fearless?
They are when they charge. So if they do the if they do the go berserk charge, they don't have to take, they're fearless for that, yeah. They
Gotcha.
do, weirdly, they're not fearless the rest of the time, which is a bit strange, but there you go. They're courage four, so they're not bad for evil. But yeah, love Reavers. I would love to play more of them. I only have like, I have 10, maybe 12 converted Reavers with axes from the bad old days. If you don't know, Reavers with axes used to be the absolute hot potatoes
Fight
of most
five,
every
disgusting.
5/5, and piercing strike was just D3 strength, so you could get strength 6, 5/5 models for 10 points each. Balanced. Anyway, also they had armor back then for some reason. Anyway, that's not really relevant here. Good job, David. Great name, great list. Love it. Maybe max out the crossbows.
Let's look at our final winning list from the second night of the weekend.
Oh, that's
Mr.
a much
Jake
less
Rawson
interesting name.
took
Wah wah.
the his favorite love affair, don't tell Celeborn, Erebor Reclaimed and Lothlorien. He's got Thorin with Orcrist and Goat leading. Did that tickle you, Dave?
No, I was just thinking, I thought of something I was going to say, which is that if we were basing it on combos you see in game, Celeborn might be the most, shall we say, unlucky husband, just because Galadriel gets played with a lot of different Valors in this game and almost never with Celeborn.
He
Maybe he's into
could,
it.
yeah, we
I
can't
hope so.
judge. Maybe Celeborn loves it. Celeborn's just in the corner peeking out.
Anyway, let's talk about those.
We'll edit that out. Yeah, so we won't. Jake took Erebor Reclaimed and Lothlorien, 45 models, 15 bows. He's got Thorin, King Under the Mountain with Orcrist and Wargoat. Nine Iron Hills dwarfs, nine Iron Hills with crossbows and spears, and one goat rider. He's brought Biffa, Champion of Erebor, five Iron Hills dwarfs, one Iron Hills dwarf with a spear, four dwarfs with crossbow and spear, one dwarf with crossbow, spear, and banner. And then from Lothlorien, he's got Galadriel, one sentinel, four guard of the Galadrim court, four Galadrim warriors with bow and spear, seven warriors with spear and shield. One warrior with banner, shield, and spear, so double banner in the list. One knight with shield and elf bow. What do we think of this one?
So I was wondering how, because this is an expanded version of his finale list slash 800 slash Nations Cup contender list, and I was
And
wondering how
Gondolin,
he
I think
managed
he's
to
running it there.
expand the list up to 900 while only adding five models. I see there's a war goat, so I really like the war goats because they the potential for knockdown on infantry heroes and stuff is just actually really really underrated. Like, just charging two guys and maybe knocking them prone, and then you can peel them off with other models if you want. Like, I goat riders are actually excellent, excellent good value. They're very heavy cavalry, and there's not very many strength four lance cav that isn't heroes in the game. I think it's basically just them and camels. And yeah, fantastic. Both of those have great rules, by the way, as well. But yeah, he's added a few dwarves. It's the second banner that does it, and he's also beefed up the elves in the warband. Like, there's a few more Guthrum court, and then there's no wood elves,
Yeah.
which is a good
Well, I
choice because
think,
you don't want to have,
yeah, I've.
there's no weak points here. He's got a few more crossbows, a few more dwarves. It's a good list.
Yeah, he's gone up to what, eight crossbows up from four, I think, in his previous in his eight
Yeah, I
hundred
mean, there's
list.
14 bows. There is a, yeah, it's
Yeah.
an additional four. The Galadriel basically means that you're going to be out shooting basically anything that doesn't have Blinding Light and Legolas, and dwarves are hard, saving the points on the fact that he's not taking spears on the dwarves, which is demanding that you either use
The
3D prints or converted models, which I think he has the 3D prints, which I think are quite good. They
awesome.
look basically interchangeable with
Ooh.
regular Unreal Tools. In
Ooh.
fact, it's so interchangeable that the Goms Gamers podcast thought that they were conversions, and I was getting lots of props for my converted Anhills dwarves, and I'm like, this is 3D print. They just happen to look very sort of copyright infringy.
Mine are all converted because I'm a hobbyist. They're not
Yeah, and
painted
also
yet, though.
because you've got a massive secondhand army for way too cheap as well.
Was
I know
it
you
from
touched
Seventh
on it.
City? Ooh, if you want secondhand armies for cheap, go to Seventh City.
Alternatively, make your friends fall out of love with the hobby, and then they'll give you their stuff.
Just go on and
Yeah.
on about how unhappy you are with the hobby, and they're like, "Oh yeah, me too." And
Yeah,
they're
me
like,
too,
"Oh, you're
brother, me
selling that
too.
army?" I think
And
the
do we think, not necessarily, oh, sorry, Stephen.
I was just going to say, I think the thing that really sells the list for me here is the inclusion of the second banner, because I think at this point, somewhere you can definitely afford it. You're an elite army, so getting that extra reroll on there when you've got the fight five or the fight six, it's really, really valuable. I don't think we see it enough at higher points with elite armies. Is like, why would you, if you don't have a 6-inch banner, taking a second banner just kind of makes sense.
I've never liked two banners. I guess I see the value, but I almost always think you can get more value with more guys than a second banner. But I mean, he won the tournament, so he clearly didn't make a wrong choice. But I for my money, I always prefer lads. And this is a low might army. He doesn't really have a good option to add might into this because, I mean, the thing is, it doesn't really need it too badly because once Biffa gets his special rule going and Thorin gets free hero combats, you get essentially turbo value because Biffa's always providing you hero moves. And there is something to be said for making sure that all of your army is going to end up within range of your main guy, which is Biffa in this list. And it means that it's a Galadriel bubble, so you don't want to have too many bodies because then you might not be able to get them all in range. Biffa's the main guy, so once he's got freed his axe blade from his brain, you can do free heroic move. So you want to have everything in your heroic move every turn because that rule is insanely good value, especially for 65 points. That's one of the most confusingly well-costed profiles in the entire game. So once you're going, it's like, I get it. I think that makes sense. And this list wants to play kind of slow. You don't want to rush to anything, so it can kind of get away without March. There will be lists where not having March will cause you serious problems and certain scenarios, but he probably didn't run into them in three games. I mean, like, seize the prize, you have some cav and you have compel. If you play against something that has the tools to deal with you, then you're gonna get beaten. But it's niche enough that it's not a guarantee. And obviously, if they don't dig up the prize for 2 turns, it won't matter anyway because you'll be on them, which is very possible because seize the prize is a stupid scenario. But yeah, this probably sucks that stuff like it doesn't like heirlooms particularly, and some other lists at 900 points will be able to put out like battle lines that can actually fight this and win. But this is a pretty tough battle line.
Doesn't love the
I think
vibe of
I'd probably drop
cocktail.
a model and get a few get. Basically, if I was going to be finicky about this, let me breathe. That is the 12, 18,
Is four Guard of the
23,
Galadriel Court
24.
enough?
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking. He could drop a dwarf without losing any bow limit, I think. So I've counted that wrong. Yeah, he could. So he could then. I mean, you could drop the spear on that dwarf with crossbow and banner as well, because that thing is never that's got -2 to win the fight. It's no point even supporting with it. So you do that, and then you could have turned all of those spear and shield warriors into Glaphon Court because it's actually only a 1 point upgrade. But you might as well.
Yeah, because I've seen a different version. Somebody else has got a different version
And
of
you're not
Jace
losing
Beacon
any
in the
break
list.
point either.
And that person's got seven Galadriel Court Guard, and he's got one more crossbow than Jake has at
It might just be a
700. No, Jake was
he
very
doesn't.
critical of that version.
It might just be that there's a he doesn't have the models or something. Like, D6 is nice, but like Guthrum Court Guard are excellent value. They're really, really good value. And you've got Galadriel, they're behind the line, so you shouldn't be losing them anyway until things are already going bad for you. Yeah. I don't like the double banner thing, but I see the value of it.
Cool. Well, let's have a look at Spooky Galadriel. Oh. No, sorry, skip her. Let's look at the stats. There may or may not be correct. I tried to do some fact checking since the shambles of last episode. The previous intern has been terminated.
Was it shambles when I wasn't there? Was it?
I'm just,
Yeah.
To be expected, really.
yeah. Spreadsheets are difficult. Yeah. But yeah, this is our kind of meta snapshot of what's winning at the moment. As always, the blue columns for people viewing rather than just listening are the GBHL 100s. Orange columns are GBHL 90s. Mordor, far and away, the highest kind of combined total with 12 podiums, six of which have come from hundreds. Isengard's in second place with 100 podiums with four. And Dark Denizens Mirkwood, the Spider Queen, has 300 podiums, equal with Rise of the Theoden. In the 90 scene, you've got Minas Tirith and Rivendell, both with seven podiums each. Mordor with six. Serpent Horde, I think, with five. Lake Town with six. Corsairs of Umbar with five, actually. So maybe Corsairs and
Popping
the new kind
off.
of meta. You don't see a huge amount of them. So if you want to kind of play something a bit off the wall that's actually been doing quite well so far this season, that would be Corsairs, maybe. Erebor Reclaimed on four podiums, Numenor on four, and surprisingly, not all of those are paired with Rivendell. There have been, I think, one or two pure. Yeah. I mean, other than Mordor, the meta looks like in quite a healthy place, I think.
I don't think there's
It
anything
doesn't.
unhealthy about Mordor being one of the best factions, particularly.
You would
Not
say that,
inherently, anyway.
Ringwraith.
Yeah, but like, I mean, Mordor is the main evil
I know, it's
faction.
the main evil faction. It's got the most profiles. It's what you should expect.
I think, I guess the unhealthiness comes from it
It
having
being, it's
almost
the same
double
models
the
as
number of
well.
podiums. Yeah.
It's also. It's the same models over and over again. I'd say at least 11 out of those 12 lists have either the Witch King and Numenoreans in it. So,
I would say almost 100% of those probably have like Numenoreans in, but I mean, not all of them. I know that for a fact. But like, for me, the
It's
only
only
Mordor
three
profile
poses.
that is the only Mordor profile that's actually too good is the Numenorean for me.
Yeah.
Do you not think the
It's
Witch King's
too.
too good?
Not really. I think Black Numenoreans are too cheap, is the problem.
So I think the conclusion we can all gain here is if we reduce Aurelia's move speed by five, the game will be in a balanced state.
Is that
That's a
some
League of Legends joke, everyone.
whoa, 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 whoa.
You guys listening, if you don't understand that, you're
God,
probably
everyone
too
loves it.
cool. Don't worry about
Throw it in the chat if you
it.
love nerfing Aurelia's movement speed by five. What a
Yeah.
great reference.
Well, hey.
Was that an effective nerf or was it not an effective nerf?
Yeah, it's an effective nerf.
It was an
Movement
effective
speed is
nerf,
always enough. Movement speed is always an effective nerf in that game. It's very deceptively important.
Would black numbers
Anyway.
be balanced at a 5-inch move speed?
No, not for 9 points. They need to go up in points. They need to be 10, realistically, at least.
Make
I don't
them
really know if
15
that's enough,
points.
but
Give them the feral Uruk-hai treatment. Pay
give
them
them 15
15 points.
points, give them 3 wounds each.
If a black num goes up to
D7.
10 points, you took 12 in your master's list, or did
Yeah.
you take 11? So your list goes
11.
up by 12 points. So I guess you
Yeah.
drop one and turn a Morannon into a tracker or something
I
like
don't
that.
really know exactly what I'd do
Yeah.
if that was the case. But this, I mean, that would drop the list's effectiveness quite a bit because the numbers come down quite a lot. In that, go to, like going from 38 to 36 is a big drop. That's
Yeah.
700. I'd probably build the list differently, I think.
Yeah. And I think we've seen that even at that kind of the higher optimal points, Barn-Dûr isn't unbeatable. Mordor Spider Queen isn't unbeatable. It's very strong. But
Yeah.
There are
One thing I want to
counterparts.
ask about this is, do you think there's anything missing here? Anything that should be on there that isn't?
Oh, that was my next question, Dave. You took it right out of my mouth.
Slow, John, slow.
That's the
Yeah,
synergy.
we've had a few higher points, kind of hundreds now, and we
Yeah.
haven't really seen any sort of elf combos really sprinkled in. Rivendell hasn't had any hundreds. Has Lothlorien had any? Not
The
according
thing
to
that
my
jumps out to
stats,
me
though.
the most right now is the fact that I don't think the Fellowship is in there.
Yeah, which means there are no Legolas drops, Aragorn drops, Boromir
Boromir
drops.
drops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which Boromir used to be a couple of years ago really popular. It's just like a,
Well, it's
here's
because his
marks on
girlfriend
six
got
mine.
nerfed.
Yeah. Rest
Lady
assured
of
it's
Light.
Boromir. The reason
Oh,
it isn't everywhere is because Lady of Light got nerfed from a Valor to a Fortitude, because Boromir of Gondor plus Lady of Light is an extremely effective combo. It's 230 points, and you get 9 might, 2 fight 6 strikers. You cover Boromir's main weaknesses. It's just a great combo. But because she got nerfed into a Fortitude, she can't be dropped in like that.
Because you
So
see a lot of ring wraiths about as well.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. But that is the reason why ring wraiths are dominant, because Lady of Light isn't everywhere anymore. When Lady of Light was everywhere, you couldn't afford to take ring wraiths and just expect to win, because if you run into like two or three Ladies of the Light in a tournament, you're stuck, because that makes it really hard to do stuff, because they're fortifying all their own heroes and then they're banishing you.
So the real answer is to unnerf Vanquishers of the
I don't think you.
Necromancer Legendary Legion.
Vanquish of the Necromancer is a problem, significant problem, in my
It's my
opinion.
favorite
Not
army.
in terms of a problem of competitive viability, but that list is just so wildly out of whack when it was brought out. It's like, are you crazy? What the hell was that? Anyway.
Anything else you think's missing? So the Fellowship's a good pickup. We haven't really seen any elves type drops do well at hundreds.
Elves haven't really done as well as they should have done yet. I think Lothlorien will be on there before year's end in terms of hundreds.
Yeah. What
I
dwarfs?
think
Do we have any dwarfs in there?
Erebor
Has it
Reclaimed, I
done?
expect to see in there. There aren't like Kingdom of Khazad-dûm is on there. That's probably not going
Yeah.
to be a heavy presence.
Erebor hasn't had any hundreds. It's had a few 90s.
Erebor Reclaimed is the one I would expect to push this up.
Yeah.
What I want to know is, are you tracking the difference between Moria Dwarves or, and Kingdom of Khazad-dûm, and also the two different variants of Erebor Reclaimed as well as Iron Hills? Because they're all different lists. You should do that, although it won't matter until another one gets a scores a podium.
That sounds like it's above my pay grade, Dave.
No, it's not above
Moving
your pay grade.
swiftly on from my statistical inadequacies, everyone's
Yeah.
favorite section. Viewer comments.
That's
So
my
the
favorite.
only JP1 asked, this is in reference to Dave being absent last week. I reckon Dave is in Cornwall. He seems like someone who'd enjoy that place.
Not too far. Not too far.
I
What
don't
is
think we
the
can really
only?
accept that as a comment. We should probably ban him. Saying that someone's from
Does
Cornwall is a horrible insult.
the only JP1 have experience of being in Cornwall, perhaps?
I hope
What a
not.
mystery.
Certainly hope not. The Golems gamers say another Golems game is any heroic collab in the books.
Is
Sunglass
this?
emoji, love heart emoji.
Not sure which channel this is. This is, of
Yeah,
course, in
this is
reference to the patch being
Elliot
on the app.
Schillinglaw controlling this, I presume. But that was the that's been referenced to Ash being on the, I guess, on the podcast last week, correct?
Yes.
Excellent. I
Big
can't
shout
claim to
out
have
Ash.
watched it.
He also got to have a little monologue about Witch King Sully, so.
Yeah, normally he gets
Yeah,
rudely
maybe.
shut down
Maybe I
whenever
should
he tries
watch
to
it.
talk about it on the Golems Gamers
Is
pod.
it a positive or a negative rant? Oh no,
No,
Ash was really good on it.
That doesn't explain why my
it
answer
was
to
a
my
good
question
rant.
though.
It was a good rant. He
Okay.
explained why he enjoys the list, and what he thinks is good about it.
Adam Paul 677
Is
says
Adam
lovely.
Sirens of the Golems Gamers.
That makes sense. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love Adam says lovely review. I love pits as much as I love terrain. Yeah, it's definitely Adam Sirens. Makes sense. I faced four lists with Terror Walls, and that Warhorn with the Hunter Orc captains enabled me to punch holes such that the Hunter Orcs could stream through. The meta is indeed tough for pits. I had to get lucky in my games, which I did against Sam and Patrick. I recommend the list for anyone looking to have a good time, but once you break, not a long time. Thanks for
I've
commenting.
enjoyed
I
the
think
list
Adam
when I used it.
is
It's
giving me a
nice.
Spotify enjoyer,
It's
so
nice when
thanks for
people confess their armpit fetishes like straight off the bat.
the
Like part of the
I
intro, well
do
done.
think it's putting a lot of eggs into the Azog basket, but I actually think at higher points it has surprising amounts of legs. You get like 50 models at 800 roughly. More than that, and that's with a banner and a horn. Like, it's quite a lot. I mean, it's impressive. Like, I really like Pits of Dol Guldur. I'm working on a Pits of Dol Guldur paint scheme. I have been for, I say, I mean, I've got the paint scheme. I'm working on the actual doing of the painting, and I have been for since the end of 2022. It was very slow going because I just never have a tournament I'm ready for, and then, and then what will happen is I'll be like too soon before the tournament that I can't get them ready in time. I have played them. I did borrow them from Jakob and I got second with them, so it was pretty good fun. I definitely want to play them again though. They're surprisingly great fun. So it's my favorite way of playing Hunter Orcs, I think.
I think it's a really good list. I'm a big fan.
I don't think it's really good. I think it has the tools it needs to be playable in a meta where you need to have specific tools to be playable. Like, it's got great troops. It has access to some pretty cool stuff. Like, Azog is great. Basically, the only mark against Azog is the fact that he has to can't take the armor, which is like, that's unfortunate, but it gives him some counterplay, some pretty obvious counterplay, and it makes it vulnerable to flubbing. And then the Seize Priority, Resistance to Magic is just a great choice to add to it. And yeah, the Seize Priority is completely unique. And in my opinion, that's the best thing to do with Legendary Legions. You've got to create something that's not just buffs, it's unique. That's
Yeah, I
why I
mean,
love the Assault on Lothlórien, because it is unique. It creates a different kind of play of the game, and that's important. That's what Legendary Legions should do, and I think Assault on Lothlórien and Pits of Dol Guldur are great examples of it. Whereas something like Rangers of Ithilien, for example, is sort of stupid because all it does is provide you a way to, well, I mean, I don't like that it exists in some ways. It does provide a completely different play style that isn't otherwise available, but it also, yeah, it's not a very pleasant play style.
I think my
Right.
favorite thing about, oh, sorry, I want to say something about Pits. My favorite thing about Pits is if you're playing against a competitive player who knows how to use it and you've never played against it, you are going to have a sad time because the priority thing is just with Azog
It's
and Nurgle.
punishing. It can be.
Cool. Carson Howard gives us an update about his battle company, saying Berserker blades are a meme that when it works is the funniest thing, especially when you kill one of your own models in the fight. He wants to hear a podcast about all the players who brought AOL and didn't get top three. Maybe we'll have to get Williams on as a
There was
special guest sometime. I mean,
Jamie did get top three last week, so I mean, not a great choice of time for that joke, but I understand what you're getting at.
There was a
Don't
really
let the
funny
tree get in the
moment
way of a good
at
story.
last year's Gates of Gondolin. Again, shout out Seven City World Champion, who hosts that one. I think there were six AOLs, and our buddy Josh had to play against four of them. And like they all ended up in the bottom half because it was literally just people who took the list thinking, this good, I use.
And we wonder why Josh doesn't go to as many hundreds.
That was part of it. He hated it. He didn't like
Oh,
playing against them all.
he did not. Anyway.
Brandon Kirk says, "Hey guys, what would you say is your favorite hero of legend? Mine is Elessar because he's my favorite character in Tolkien's Legendarium, tied with Isildur, and he at worst has a good profile. Another great video, guys, with a member from another channel I watch."
Oh.
So, who's your favorite hero of legend, chaps?
Gil-galad doesn't have to be stated.
Sharky and Worm, baby. That's not actually true. I think probably my favorite hero of legend is Saruman. I love Saruman. I also love Théoden and the Witch King, although the Witch King
Yeah.
is less for story reasons and more for gameplay reasons because he's great. But no, for me, in terms of story, it has to be Saruman and Théoden.
Yeah. I think that's a
Right.
really fair
Bernard.
shout. John, what about
I
you?
missed the tribute last week,
I
but
probably
that hit me
simp for
bad.
Mummy Galadriel, I think.
Yeah.
She's great as well.
Big fan. Big fan of how she just lol joked Feanor and then gave Gimli three hairs. That's probably one of my favorite things
Absolutely
along with
debated.
Gollum.
I mean,
Massive
sorry to
troll.
bring back to Saruman quickly, but he's the only hero that has three separate Hero of Legend profiles and no, not Hero of Legend profiles. He's the most legendary hero. That's just facts.
Isn't Aelor the Young the most legendary hero?
No, he's a hero fella.
No, isn't he got Hero of Legend or
He has
something,
the,
isn't
he
he?
has a special rule called Legendary Hero. Yes, that is a. I made a meme years ago during COVID where it was the old Anakin on the council meme, and it was like,
Nice.
"You may we give grant you the rank of blah blah blah." You know how it goes.
Yeah.
Not legendary hero. Excellent stuff. A good time
Wrong.
was had by all.
Liam Smith, number one super fan, says, as always, guys, awesome finger on the pulse of the current state of the GBHL tournament scene and beyond. What is the one piece of advice you have been given about playing the game that still stays with you to this day?
Ooh, that's a great question.
I would say I have two. I can't remember who said it. It was probably Ed Ball.
A
But the
wise
most
man.
important point of might on the board was the last one. And then there's one other, but I came up with this one, which is if you don't win the game, come away having learnt something.
I
That's
think
it.
for me, it comes down to if you lost because you lost a roll-off, then you probably did deserve to win in the first place. That's
Yeah,
something
I
that
think
sticks with me a lot, and that's why one of the reasons why I play so meticulously all the time.
mine's similar sort of vibe. Like, I say it a lot, sometimes tongue in cheek, normally before I break my own rule. But I say only bad players blame dice, and that doesn't mean that you can't acknowledge when variance has gone against you. But generally, if you're saying I got unlucky that game and that's why I lost, that's a bit of a mental hurdle you need to get over. You need to start looking at what mistakes did I make that either meant I was in a position where I could get unlucky, or what mistakes did I make, or how did my opponent outplay me that meant they were more likely to get lucky.
Yeah, it's
True.
also
I mean,
set yourself up with a good list that can be resilient against having temporary bad luck, I would say is a good start.
tell me why you lost a not blame dice challenge, but you're playing an Arnor v Arnor mirror match at 800 points
Yeah.
at Lords of Battle. Tell me the reason why you lost that wasn't dice.
Didn't call a heroic
But
decision.
I appreciate what you're saying though. That is
Yeah, like there are some
balanced.
times when variance kind of goes against you, but I
Well, I mean,
think
that's basically just pure dice rolling
yeah,
tech.
it's then
The man with the stronger dice.
it's not blaming the dice. You can acknowledge that I
Yeah,
was
I mean,
unlucky, but not
yeah.
blaming the
Well, I
dice.
mean,
My piece of
the
advice.
confusing thing about roll-offs is they're the most important part of this game. They're the most unusual and unique part of this game, and they're also one of the most impactful parts of the game. So trying to take them out of being the deciding factor as much as possible is one of my main goals when I build army lists. I hate running army lists that have to win roll-offs to win games, which is
And
one of the
you,
reasons why I default to playing Magic so much.
yeah.
Playing Magic
And the players like
helps that a lot.
you, Will Champion, kind of J. Claire, you guys probably all subconsciously or consciously play in a way that is going to minimize the impact the variance will have on your games. Because that's why you guys end up winning so much more than everyone else.
I think
Because you're better at that, right?
if
That's
you're
what
playing in a
being good
way
at the game is.
that means you have to win a roll off to win the game, unless you're losing the game and it's like a last ditch attempt, you might have to look at yourself and go, okay, well, was I planning on winning this game in the first place if it's all going to come down to a 50-50?
Yeah, I mean, you gotta analyze when, like, yeah, sometimes you will win games because of 50-50s. In fact, it will happen a lot, but you need to work out whether or not the 50-50 was the only reason you won. And if it was that because you didn't deserve to win, or was it because you were unlucky, or is it because you made a mistake? Figuring out where the mistakes you made were and trying not to make them again is the important part of the game.
Remember, only bad players blame dice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moving on.
Unfortunately, I'm a bad player, so I'll do what I want.
Yeah, I've started doing it more and more as I get more and more salty. Robert Stevens says, I'm up for a podcast talking about how each faction works and tactics.
We have actually recorded two of these podcasts. The two hosts who you see least on here currently own those audio files. So we've got a podcast series called Why I Love X Faction, not X Factor. And not to smack talk Josh or Elliot, because they're both very busy with their personal lives, and I respect that, and I love them. They're my brothers. But we do have a Why I Love Minas Tirith and Why I Love Rohan.
Someday
they will be released.
Yeah, I mean, there's more to it, obviously. My problem with that is I don't tend to play single factions all that much. But, I mean, like, it's the same thing, really. Yeah. We can go into it. We get bits of it when we talk about different lists through the episodes and talk about the construction of them.
Yeah,
like and I we'll dip into this. You should listen to every episode.
Yeah, listen to every episode, bro.
It depends on what your goal is, Robert. Like if your goal is to have, I have this faction and I want to play this faction as best I can, those types of videos are really useful. But if you're thinking, I want to kind of go to tournaments and do as well as I can, getting an overview of kind of the meta, seeing what is winning and what's doing well can often be more useful, because it gives you a bit of a wider scope of information. So that's what we're trying to do. Yep. There are really good resources. When I was learning the game, there was a blog that I found. It's maybe a little bit old now, but it's called, I think, Tell Me a Tale.
Yeah.
And they've got kind of breakdowns of every single faction. It's text rather than a video, but they're really, really good for intros and stuff, and I found them really useful when I was getting started in the game. Stuart McLean, our other number one super fan, says, if one was to create a new match play guide to bring some novelty to the meta, what scenarios are getting dropped and what new ones would you want to add?
I mean, that's two questions, but I can throw out some names that need dropping or modifying.
And only
heirlooms is getting binned. Command the battlefield needs changing. Seize the prize needs changing. Contest needs some more modifications. I actually really like contest, but I acknowledge it needs changing. For my money, you don't need anything.
Basically,
assassination or fog of war needs to get binned off. I think realistically, assassination doesn't add a whole lot. I like assassination personally, but also I acknowledge that it's a bit of a storm. The camp needs to get modified. Or just rolled into retrieval list one scenario, because they're essentially the same. So that frees up four or so scenarios that need modifying. What I would say is, my biggest pet peeve with the batch play guide is actually the pools, because I don't actually think what they've done is the thing that, like, they've tried to group them into kinds of gameplay to ensure you get variety, but I actually don't think that's a good idea. I think the better idea might be to try and keep, this is going to sound weird, but the scenarios that are more random need to be contained to a single pool rather than spread out. So I think having Maelstrom as a pool doesn't make sense. I think Maelstrom is unpopular, and therefore keeping it in a pool in that sense makes sense. But if you can fix Maelstrom, improve the deployment properly in a way that won't be crap and ruin like one player's game basically every time just because going first sucks ass at Maelstrom. If you can fix that properly, they don't all have to be in one pool. So you can say, like, right, we're going to have a few scenarios that have a bit more randomness, but we're going to put them in a single pool so they don't come up all the time. Because I think the pools as they are now, you can... like, the fact that there's shit ones in every pool is a bit of an issue. Like, I don't agree with veto either, because I think the scenario should be able to hold up on their own. And I think, like, I don't mind having veto occasionally, but I don't think veto should be a default rule at any stage, especially not
when veto's the standard. You start seeing things like Lake Town and Arnor and
Lothlorien. When veto's the standard, you basically stop playing half the scenarios ever.
Hmm.
And that sucks. And then you might as well not have them. Like, Maelstrom needs fixing in some way. I think there's a few suggestions. I kind of liked what Ali did at his City of Kings, where he modified the table so you don't get punished so badly for rolling badly. But also Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of that. I personally would prefer to see some sort of alternating. But I think for me, the main thing I want to see is put the first turn in its own deployment phase. Don't make it part of the first turn, because if you're playing some sort of Magic v Magic matchup, whoever goes second has such a massive advantage. You essentially get a free round of spellcasting without any recompense, or you get such an advantage of shooting. It should just be you have a deployment phase, you maybe alternate, but it doesn't have to alternate necessarily. You deploy bit by bit, and then you play the game after that. Don't make it part of the first turn, because the fact that you can interact with, essentially get unreturnable interactions with your opposition is just so nasty. And it makes the fact that first priority role becomes extremely punishing. But as a result of that, you need to fix it. That's my big pet peeve.
I say get
Also,
rid of
storm the camp
anything.
and see the surprise of shit.
Get anything, rid of anything that relies on that roll off. So I'm agree with you there. So that's the seize the prize contest.
I mean, I'm currently
Yeah.
on a streak of going first. It's a maelstrom. I think it's 7 games at tournaments now. I've had to go first at maelstrom, which is
Whoa. Don't blame bad dice, because that would make you a bad
no
player.
bueno. But just, but like that's the thing. You've basically forced into a position where you have to deploy extremely conservatively every single time as a result of that. And it's
Yeah,
just,
Dave over here
and
looking like
when
Rishi
the rolling
Sunak.
is so punishing, even when you're the person who goes second rolls like ass, they're not going to get immediately punished as a result, because you had to deploy so conservatively and probably had to spend a bunch of might to bring your army on safely. So yeah, it's just a bad deployment system. Like the core of it is okay. I don't mind coming on different parts of the board, but alternating for me makes sense, and doing it in a way that doesn't just allow the person to go second to smash up some spells. And yes, I am
Right.
mad that my Spider Queens will got sapped immediately in different Maelstrom games as a result of that. But like that shouldn't be so easy, you know?
Our next comment from Goals Crypti says, I already started building up 3D prints for an armor army, which
A what?
will also be an honor army.
A
It's a bit of a
more.
tongue twister. Will also be a good ally for Khazad-dûm with the knights. What do you think would be the one change that could skyrocket Khazad-dûm to the top of the meta? Either a change to the Khazad list itself or to any other list.
Make every
Spears.
warrior have two attacks. There you go.
Yeah, or just make Iron Guard cost 8 points. That'd do it.
Yeah.
Hunter Orcs, but D6 and fight four and with throwing axes and courage four.
Make Durin 5 points, but movement 160.
That's an obvious change. Realistically, if we're talking about realistic changes, there isn't one other than giving them access to it. The thing is, dwarves with spears aren't the top of the meta, so that wouldn't even do it. Like, you look at Erebor Reclaimed, that's not top of the meta. It does well in certain circumstances. I reckon if you gave them two, like a very strong three-way alliance with, I don't know, say Lothlorien and, no, not Lothlorien. Say they got a strong three-way alliance with Rivendell and the White Council, for example. That still wouldn't put them at the top of the meta, but they'd be very playable if they were like that. So you get your Rivendell army bonus, you get your D7 up front, you get Galadriel, your Lady of Light spliced in for flavor. That would be good.
Yeah,
That's all anybody wants. Bring
or
back Galadriel.
cheeky Saruman.
Or Saruman, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that wouldn't, like I said, that wouldn't make them great because their profiles are too expensive, but it
I
would
think
make them really
you can't give
viable.
them spears, because that takes away from the identity of the list, which is it's the dwarf list without spears. Yes, I'm targeting Mardin here. You could do something like give them a dwarf drum. Like, that would help
I've
with
been thinking about
mobility.
that for a long time. Like, I think the fact that no good army gets a drummer is kind of weird, and I think dwarves are the obvious target for a good side list to get them. So I think, yeah, Khazad-dûm getting a drummer profile, just bin off the shield bearer and replace him with a Khazad drummer, and you might have a Khazad drummer. Ooh,
Then you'd be
then you
cooking.
might
I
be
tell you
cooking. Or
what,
give Mardin a drum, and then he's playable.
just replace the just make it the shield bearer bashing on his shield counts as the drum special rule. There you go.
Something like that, or like infinite heroic marches or something for some sort of hero would be really fun.
Beardy Fluffbag Chris Ryder asks, who's going to be next month's sponsor? Any bids? If you offer us enough, Chris, we'll shout you out more.
Yeah, I'm going to put money on it being Seventh City Collectibles. Actually, technically, we don't have any sponsors yet.
Watch the space.
Seventh City Collectibles will be our affiliate links for the long term.
Sam Farrell says, how aware do you guys find about upcoming MESBG events? Would love to go more. The two best places are the GBHL website and the events calendar, or the GBHL Facebook page. That does assume you're based in the UK. If you're based outside the UK, I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's for GBHL events. That doesn't matter where you're based, but you can still see the GBHL events that way. Yeah. Otherwise, you might want to... There'll be local Facebook pages that advertise. And the Scottish MESBG players, a lot of their local tournaments are heavily advertised up there. If you're in Europe, try and find a local Facebook group of some description. I'm not sure if that's how they do it everywhere, but I think that is how it's done mostly, at least in Europe. And
you
Australia.
Might need to specify an MESBG related Facebook group, because otherwise you'll have everyone joining the Gdansk Knitting Society and they'll be very confused.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a confusing thing to do, you're right.
But yeah, the GBHL calendar also has Facebook links to the events on most of the clickable ones.
Yeah, when they do have events, when the event has been created, they're supposed to add a link so you can find it that way, which... Mm. It's handy. I sometimes find events that way, although I have to admit it doesn't always happen.
Or the events tab on the GBHL Facebook group is really good, if you are UK-based.
Yeah, I have that tab open all the time because I try and plan my year around GBHL 100s.
You mentioned the Gdansk Knitting Group, Stephen. Our final three comments come from some people who may or may not be members. Martin gives us some scathing criticism about not having any Polish people on the pod. He says, hi guys, very nice discussion. However, if you talk about Polish championship, I think it would be a nice idea to invite someone who play there, isn't it? I think that would be a very nice and interesting addition. For example, some backstage information about organization. How do we do that on a football first league stadium? Or story about only 1 minute of a game, or maybe one, two more lucky dice thrown decided that Hobbit and Rangers list didn't win the tournament. Big surprise, huh? There are a lot more stories about our National League. We could tell you more about it next time if you would like to. And then there's some in-joking between Rassi Jelen and Martin. And if the Brits reviewed Martin's list, we'd still think that they were playing for Thun and Theme. Which would have been quite fun.
Okay, so clearly in his last comment, he's saying, knowing how competitive and strong is our league, I don't think anyone can be like that. Because we know that the Polish league is probably the weakest of all the European leagues. That was a joke. If I see you at Nations Cup, please don't come and beat me up. I know your league is very strong. Don't worry. One of our best.
The drinking is strong as well.
Is it? Yeah.
I think having
there's a reason
been,
we haven't
having,
had Jakubon.
Yeah.
Having been to the Polish team championship last year, there was a lot of drinking involved on the Friday night and the Saturday night, and it was a great fun. But I didn't fancy trying to go drink for drink with any Poles because there was a lot of vodka involved and I don't do well with vodka.
Yeah.
I didn't fancy dying. No, I had too much to do. But yeah, great stuff. I'd be down for that. I think that would be excellent. I think our main problem there is we probably have to defer to Jakub on terms of figuring out who to invite. But I mean, I'd be down for it. I'd love to get some representative from other metas on so I can shit talk them face to face. That would be fun.
To be fair, the Polish meta was quite similar to ours, so I'm sure we'd have lots to agree on.
Yeah, I think our meta is maturing into something more representative of the Polish.
Yellow alliances.
Maybe post-TNC. If after the Nations Cup, if Poland win, we'll get somebody Polish on.
If we have
there
to.
We go.
What about my ex-employer, Piotr?
Well, you say your ex-girlfriend.
Does he play MESPG?
I don't think so.
Then no, he can't.
How embarrassing for him.
Right, that brings us to the end of the pod. We've successfully alienated another nation. So
which
we have
one?
Left to do Poland, I assume.
No, we were nice to Poland. Don't be silly.
I don't know. Jakub might send me another message.
He probably will. I don't think you did that name correctly.
Martin.
Yeah, probably, that one.
It's probably Marcin, wasn't it? Marching band. Thank you everyone for coming to like, comment, share, subscribe, come support your hobby. Remember to go check out Seven City Collectibles, the link in the description to sell all your old stuff, buy all your new
Play your
stuff.
40K, play SPG.
Yeah, sell your 40K, buy SPG, do what John did. And remember to come back for the next one. Down below, let me know which country I should mildly insult next and then hurriedly backpedal on who on that poor country. Chitter chitter.
Stay chittery, San Diego.
Chitter 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 chitter.
I love it in my